Good afternoon. Welcome to Hockey Central. Jeff Merrick, Anthony Stewart, Justin Bourne. Lots to get to from the weekend. Lots to talk about tonight. And as it relates to the Toronto Maple Leafs, the big news, Joe Thornton returns Nick Petan out of the lineup. It is the Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. Sean McKenzie is going to stop by here in a couple of moments, get you caught up on that. Meanwhile, Justin and Anthony, good afternoon. We have a lot to get to today, but I want to start off by sharing part of a conversation that I had with a friend this morning who said to me, while everybody else seems to be putting on the COVID weight, she has actually lost weight because she is not eating arena fries right now. I don't want to say who this is because I don't want to embarrass Adrian Middlebrook like that. But Stewie, where are you on best food at an arena? I've always felt the arena fries dominate. Where are you?
I'm going to go with the beef patties at Scarborough Arena Gardens. They are microwaved, and I will be an advocate for microwave beef patties, Jamaican beef patties. They made a special appearance on Hockey Day in Canada. But the beef patties at Scarborough Arena Gardens. I'm not a big fry guy. I'm not a big fry and vinegar and poutine. But the wings at Westwood are actually really good as well. The wings at Westwood, I recommend those.
Arena food, Justin Bourne. To me, it's always the go-to is the fries. A lot of people default to the popcorn or the candy. Not me. Arena fries rule, true or false?
Well, it's, you know, basic requirements. They just don't have the right equipment to make other things well, Jeff. It's like, by contrast, the fries seem incredible because they don't have the tools. But I'll give you the on the west side of Kelowna. I grew up, it was just west side. It's West Kelowna now. But the old Mount Boucher Arena made Amin poutine. So shout out to my hometown there.
All right. Very good. So this debate rages on. There will be no conclusion for this other than to say arena fries is where it's at, man. Maple Leafs drop one to the Montreal Canadiens. Tonight back in action against the Ottawa Senators. We have other Canadian situations to deal with. We should probably get on the Vancouver page with the Francesco Aquilini tweets. The vote of confidence for the general manager and the coach and the entire team. We should talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins, now 2-0 in the Hextall-Burke era of that organization. But, Stewie, we'll start with you. What did you see pro, what did you see con Saturday as the Maple Leafs drop one of the hands of the Montreal Canadiens?
People aren't going to like to hear this, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, in the National Hockey League. It's a 56, 82-game series season, any way you put it. You're going to play good hockey games, and you're sometimes not going to come out with the win. And the Maple Leafs, I think they played good enough to win, but they lost on two elite plays. Gallagher, you know, stepped up in the third period, making a really good little chip shovel pass to on the Toffoli goal, and then he got a lucky bounce, you know, with 4 minutes to go in the game where he actually tipped that puck to himself and tapped it in. So you erased those two plays. The Maple Leafs played good enough to win, but what I like, they really neutralized the Montreal forecheck last game where they weren't really stuck in their own end for long periods of time. They're moving the puck fairly quick. They stuck to their game plan. They just, you know, lost to a couple bad bounces. So I know, you know, we can, dissect this loss, but you know what? You're going to play good enough to win. Some days you're going to win. Some days you're going to lose.
Yeah, there seemed like a frustration almost because they played so well in the first period and it just didn't go. Like, there are a number of chances that could have gone in. That could have been 3-0 after the first period. You're sitting there feeling great about the game. A matter of inches, matter of bounces, and it didn't go. And at that point, I took to coolbet.com and placed a wager on the Canadiens because I've seen that happen to teams. If it doesn't go early sometimes and you play that well, they get frustrated and start squeezing the stick a little bit. And I thought Montreal played great the next two periods, which, if you're a Leafs fan, tough to watch that. Those are big periods and a chance to really put some distance between you and the Habs. And to Stewie's point, they made a couple of elite plays, and that's all it takes sometimes.
Tonight, the Maple Leafs versus the Ottawa Senators. What was the tweet that we talked about on the last broadcast? The OGR stat, was it Ottawa games remaining in the North Division? Listen, it's been a tough go for the Ottawa Senators this season, making a trade over the weekend, picking up Ryan Dzingel from the Carolina Hurricanes, going the other way. Alex Galchenyuk, who was placed on waivers and has subsequently cleared waivers, so he's now officially on his sixth team, could have been seventh if someone claimed him, and Cedric Paquette going the other way. That seems to be, we'll talk about this a little bit more, one of those, no one's working out in their new place, let's change things up. Carolina would have known Paquette, obviously, from his time playing with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Ryan Dzingel enjoyed his best years with the Ottawa Senators. But Stewie, the weekend was big for Ottawa. Beating Winnipeg was big. We know this is going to be a lottery year for the Sens, but as Ottawa embarks on a three-game series here against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight and then back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday, what do you look for with the Ottawa Senators right now?
Well, you got to find a way to get moral victories, and I think the narrative right now is you guys are the severe underdogs, but you don't want to get embarrassed, so you got to find ways to compete, and DJ Smith is getting every ounce out of this group, and one of the interesting stats that I noticed in doing the Winnipeg game the other night is that they have like 110 shots in their last three games, so they're now resorting to, hey, you know what, we're only scoring 1 point something goals a game, we're just going to start putting shots on net, and a couple games ago they had 45 shots in the last two games that they played each game, so they're just going back to the basics. And you saw the game-winning goal against the Winnipeg Jets. Just get it to the point, get to the net, tip puck. So they just got to get back to the basics. But coming from a player that's played on many bad teams in the National Hockey League, you got to now audition for a contract. You got to audition for getting off the bad island or continuing your National Hockey League career. So to think that the Ottawa Senators are just going to lay down and say, well, you know what, better luck, we'll get them next year, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting how your motivations change, but you remain motivated. I was on a bad college team. I played on great junior teams and good pro teams, but my college team was bad. And you do have to shift your focus when their season is over before it begins and say, what am I playing for here? You know, does that mean you keep on a 2-on-1 a little bit more than you normally would? It's an option. You know, for me, I was someone who passed the puck, and that was kind of going to be my way to the next level, so it wasn't the case with me, but you can certainly see people recalibrate their focus and, all right, what am I playing for here? And often the focus moves from the front of the jersey to the back, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Leafs in Ottawa tonight. The big news around Leafland is Joe Thornton is in. Joe Thornton returns, playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, Tavares Nylander, and Zach Hyman. It appears right now for the Maple Leafs. For more on that story, we're joined by our man, Sean McKenzie, who at 4 o'clock with CJ will be doing something on a relatively new platform. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sean, is this the first time anyone at Sportsnet has used Clubhouse?
I want to say that I believe Tim McAuliffe might have been the lead on this one. I believe he might have done one. I'm not sure exactly what it was on, so I can't confirm it, but I don't think I can take credit for being okay. The first, maybe the second.
So I'm at this stage in my life where I'm coming to things late. Like Emil Delich, our podcast producer, essentially threatened me with bodily harm if I didn't get on Clubhouse last week. He's like, no, this is where it's going. This is the future. You're going to download the app right now. I'm going to stay on the phone with you until you do it. Explain what you and CJ are doing and explain what Clubhouse is.
So I was kind of the same way because I heard about it in rumblings and I heard about TikTok many years ago and thought, oh, whatever. And then now I'm addicted to it. So I assumed that this would be something I would jump on early because if it's half as good as, TikTok and how addicted I am to that, then, hey, well, why not add more confusion and social media to my life? But a friend texted me and said, hey, do you want to be invited to Clubhouse? And my first response was, what the hell do you get out of this? Are you getting some referral kickback? Is this some kind of 15% off pyramid scheme you got me into? And they were like, no, it's this new social media thing. So basically, I'm still figuring it all out. But for anyone who wants to join in, if you are on Clubhouse or you want to get on it, it's basically, it's almost like listening into a phone conversation, or it's like an open chat room of just audio. So, Me and CJ will start a room at 4:00. And there's different ways to set it up, but, barring that, too many people join, which I don't think they will since it's the first time, it's almost like everyone's just in a room on their phones and can ask questions and it'll just be a chat. It's not a podcast. It's not a show. It's more of the way we're setting it up is just a Q&A, and it can be about anything. So it's going to be informal. It's more just going to be two guys sitting around talking to basically anyone who wants to join about really any topic that they choose or ask questions about.
You just need to download the Clubhouse app and check this one out.
Yep. You download the Clubhouse app and then you get an invite from someone who's already on it. So that's it's iPhone only. Apparently they're branching out to Android for those that earn on Apple. And I guess you got to get an invite, but that's easy because all you have to do is find someone who's on it, and they have 5-10 invites, and they can just dish you one out, and you sign up really super simple.
Okay, so you know what your next sell has to be, and you can start it right now, just to Mr. Blackberry on the show, Anthony Stewart.
Oh, no, see, I was...
Does it work?
I think you're about 10 years behind, but you know what? It's not worth it, because if it interrupts your gift game, if it takes away any bit of your gifting ability, I don't want you to get rid of that BlackBerry. It's not worth it. You can sacrifice Clubhouse for the gift.
Here's what I
want. Does it work for iPod Touch? Because I'm currently doing the show from an iPod Touch. Let me know if it works for that platform.
It actually does, because CJ has a Google phone, so like he's like, I don't know how to get it. I'm like, yesterday we announced we're going to do it, and then he's like, wait, I can't get this damn thing. And I'm like, well, like, do you have an iPad? I think he had like an old iPad sitting around. And I went and looked it up, and it did say an iPad Touch. And I thought to myself, who still has an iPad Touch? But I guess you do.
Yeah, CJ.
So like, ahead, John, no one is like, there's no mediators. Just anyone could be like, interrupt your question with a new question. It's just chaos.
I am an agent of chaos. I want this thing to be just people screaming over each other, yelling. I honestly don't know. It's so new to me, and I'm literally just going to open this room at 4 and see what happens. And like, I know you can. There are rooms that I've gone into that you listen, and you have to kind of raise your hand, almost like a Zoom style thing. Yeah. And then, like, for example, there's a guy that I know really well. He works for TXG, which is he's the best custom golf club fitter in Canada, and one of them. He's a genius. And he started a room with a couple pro golfers and a couple guys that do custom fittings. And I love golf. I'm addicted to it. And I clicked, and there was 5 people in the room, but I didn't know that. I accidentally clicked on the room thinking I was just clicking on his profile. And all of a sudden from my phone, I heard, hey, Sean, thanks for joining us, man. And it scared me half to death, because now all of a sudden I'm like, who is listening to me? What's going on? But I joined their room, and then I chatted golf with them. I talked, you know, just interesting stuff for half an hour. And I think that's kind of it. It's just like a phone conversation between buddies. But if it gets too big, I think we can moderate it to some sense. But I want chaos. Bring it on.
Speaking of chaos, do we expect chaos tonight between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators?
Yeah, I think this is a matchup that, even though on paper you look and you see two teams that aren't even close in the standings and won't be when the season ends, there's something about this matchup that always seems to breed, whether it's hate or a close game. And those games against the Sens and the Leafs early in the season were really hotly contested. It was Sheldon Keefe that said that, you know, the Sens play them hard. He doesn't really care where they are in the standings. They're a big, mean, tough team. They're going to try to run the Leafs through the end board. So I think no matter where these two teams are in the standings, the Battle of Ontario has some spark. You know, if mm-hmm. it's a close game, that's great. If it's a 6-1 game, I think we could see some hate start to build. And we got 2 more of these after this one. So I'm excited for this one.
Stewie.
Jumbo Joe Thornton makes his return after a 10-game absence with an injury. So do you see him just getting thrown into the fire right away, or are they going to ease him into it, especially with his age and missing significant time?
I think he's going to pop right back in, knowing Joe and you know, not knowing him on any form of personal level, just what we've seen from him throughout his career, that I think, you know, if Joe feels good to go, he made it very clear at practice yesterday by stating, he wasn't even asked, he just simply said, I have no restrictions on myself. And maybe that's a message to Sheldon Keefe that, hey, like, I don't want to be eased in. Put me right back in there with Matthews and Marner and let me go. And I think that's why Sheldon Keefe did it and made it very clear that he feels that Jumbo shouldn't have lost, you know, shouldn't lose his spot on that top line just because of a freak accident. So I don't anticipate he'll ease him in. You know, he might not play the 24, 25 minutes that Matthews and Marner do. But this is a guy that I think if he's in a game, then he's going to be as involved as, you know, as he possibly can. And he's made it clear by saying no restrictions, that throw me out there as much as you need me.
Sean, how do you expect opponent to change the way Toronto approaches the game? You know, just coming off Montreal, who's arguably the best other team in the division, and now to Ottawa. How do you think that this that affects how Toronto goes into this game?
I get a sense from Toronto that they aren't focused on anything other than their process. I think they're a team that doesn't look at who they're playing. I don't think they have to. I think it's all about them. It's, you know, doing what they do best. And we know that scoring goals, that's creating a lot of offense. But, you know, the funny thing is we've seen from the Leafs, they become better defensively, but we haven't at times seen that offensive explosive output. So I think for them, it's less thinking about, oh, the Sens are going to try to hit us. The Habs were, you know, were really physical. And I don't get the sense from hearing from them that they're too focused on the plan of other teams. I think for them, it's trying to, you know, stay defensively sound like we've seen, but also start to create more. Like, you know, there's times when you miss the high flying crazy Leafs that can put up 10 in the game, but can give up 9. So I think they're just trying to find that balance right now.
With Sean McKenzie of Clubhouse. Sean, I am curious about the latest hand-wringing around Toronto. Where do you weigh in on the there's a problem with Nylander and Tavares conversation?
Oh, I'm torn because these are two guys that you need a lot from and you expect a lot from. I feel like there's always that conversation, though. I feel like every single year he's been in the NHL, there's that conversation of we want more from Nylander. What? Why isn't he giving us more? Is he good? Is he not? So I'm kind of on the fence there, and I know that sounds like kind of a cop-out answer. I think these are two guys that right now you need more from. You need to find a way to get them both going. But they're two guys, especially Tavares. Like when I look at John Tavares, he's a guy that there's certain guys that you watch, and I know people will pin this on Nylander and say he's the type of guy that falls into this category of can do more, can try harder, can do different things. When it comes to John Tavares, there's nothing more that guy can do. Like, you know, he is a hockey robot in the sense that he eats, sleeps, and breathes hockey. He does everything right. You're never going to catch that guy taking a night off. So I think when you look at a guy like Tavares and say we need more from him, he's probably saying that to himself, and I don't think you really have to worry about him. You don't have to kickstart John Tavares to get going. And that's why you acquire depth. That's why you have Marner and Matthews, and that's why you have Jumbo Thornton, and that's why you have Wayne Simmons, unfortunately, out of the lineup, where, you know, when you lose two guys that might not be contributing as much as you need them to, you have a few other guys that can step up and get it done. But, you know, I think there is some validity to the conversation of let's get these guys going, and they need to do more.
The microscope is also shifting on. My turn, Justin.
Sorry.
I'm a hot commodity here. I got all the.
I'm just kidding.
Coming at me. I like it.
This is what Clubhouse is going to sound like later.
I
hope so.
Yeah, pretty much. The microscope shifting on the third line as well, too, where they want some more offense. But at the very least, they're not really getting scored on. I think both guys are in the even or plus column here on that third line here. So where do you see where they're at, and what are your expectations of them going forward?
Again, I think it falls into that same category I think a lot of this team is falling into right now of they're not getting scored on, they're not giving up a lot, but you need that depth. Because in the past, we've seen Matthews and Marner kind of carry this team offensively, and they haven't gotten that scoring from the third and fourth line. We've seen Flat from the fourth line, big nights from Spets, but Tan was very good when he goes into the lineup. But it, again, is a category of, yes, you're defending better, but you got to produce. So I don't know if I'd be too concerned. If they weren't scoring and they were getting, you know, dummied in their own end and given up a million chances and getting scored on, it would be a much bigger microscope that would be magnifying in a much higher temperature. But I think as of now, I'm not freaking out too much if I'm the Leafs. But you need, you know, a guy like Pierre Engvall, you know, you have him there to produce offense in one way or another. And I think you got to ask a little bit more from them, just like you do Tavares and Nylander.
Sean, we heard today Sheldon Keefe say that Jack Campbell's going to be out at least another week. They play Wednesday and Thursday back-to-back against Ottawa. Will Michael Hutchison play, and if so, will the world explode?
The world will explode, yes. That's a given. That's 100%. Twitter will explode, Leafs Nation will explode, and I'm here for the chaos. I can't confirm or deny anything because I honestly don't know. All signs point to the fact, like, look, if Hutchinson doesn't start on Thursday, when can you start him? He's not getting a start with the Leafs. It's basically as simple as that, because if you put Freddie in tonight, which they're going, you put Freddie in Wednesday, and then you play him Thursday, like, that basically says all you need to know about how much the Leafs, you know, don't want to play Hutch. And I've said it on here before, he's one of the nicest guys, nicest hockey players I've had the opportunity to talk to, but the Leafs will probably go out of their way to try to avoid that. But given the circumstances and the fact that it is against the Ottawa Senators, not taking anything away from them, it's the worst team in the division. And you have to get Freddie some rest somewhere. They did give him practice off yesterday, took a quick skate, got some rest in. So they're doing everything they can to give Freddie some downtime. I don't see how you could play him in these three games straight. So I think that's going to be something that we're going to be monitoring closely, and Leafs Nation on Twitter will be very, very on top of.
Okay, Sean McKenzie, agent of chaos. Let me give you this scenario. What is your I love chaos dream ending of this scenario? Leafs lose tonight. Leafs lose Wednesday. And they play Ottawa on Thursday. They've lost two games with Frederick Anderson and Nett. What's the decision on Thursday? Agent of Chaos McKenzie.
Oh, that's almost, I'm an agent of chaos. That's just pure chaos. I don't even know. I'm at a loss for words here. This is what Clubhouse is going to be. It's just going to be me going, I don't know.
Tune in at 4 o'clock today, Sean McKenzie and Chris Johnson.
Yeah, to hear me stammer over something. Here's the chaos that I want. I want Michael Hutchinson between the pipes, and I want Scott Sabourin in the lineup against his old team. That's the chaos that I want to see. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know what will happen if it does, but you want chaos. That right there is chaos.
Okay. Then what would, because we've all familiar with the Austin Matthews checking the name bar on Scott Sabourin meme that's gone around for a long time. Who on the Ottawa Senators needs to do the same to Scott Sabourin if/when he enters the lineup against the Sens? Who would be the perfect guy to do that?
Ooh, someone who can fight. somebody who can do it and manage to take a punch in the face, because I wouldn't do it to Scott Sabourin. And looking back on that video, I'm shocked Scott Sabourin didn't grab him. I love it. Like, look, people were like, oh, he disrespected him. It's hockey. It's like,
yes.
If anyone heard the stuff that actually got muttered on the ice, they would think that the guy looking at a name bar was tame. And the fact that people got offended by that, I'm sure they laughed about it now. But I'm just shocked Sabourin didn't grab him and say, okay, you know, you don't know my name, but here's a fist to the face. And I think if anyone did that to Scott Sabourin again, I would be shocked if that wasn't the end result. So I'm going to say somebody that can take a few punches to the face should be the one to do it.
Okay, so what Sean is trying to say, Your Honor, is Brady Tkachuk. Anthony Stewart, over to you.
Some more chaos here. Who do you think is more of a long-term solution to that third pairing with Zach Bogosian, Latinen or Travis Dermott?
Hmm.
Right now, I would go Dermott, just because I feel like, you know, Mikko Latinen's been coming along, but this is a guy that just a week or two ago you heard from Sheldon Keith say that he wants to see Latinen try to figure things out more. He doesn't feel he's overly comfortable. He's still learning. I think as of right now, if you're just looking at who's a good long-term fix and who's maybe the more stable guy, I think just simply you know what you have in a guy like Travis Dermott. But there's a reason why the Leafs are giving Latinen all these chances. There's a reason why he's ahead of Rasmus Sandin on that depth chart, and we keep seeing in the lineup. And, you know, NHL is a funny world. It's where some guys, and you guys all know this, and you know, some guys get opportunities to continually find their game, where other guys get one game and that's it. You're out of the lineup. You didn't do it one night. So clearly the Leafs see him as a long-term solution. They see him as a guy that they want to use and they feel will fit in there. And because they're giving him that time, they're letting him go. So right now, you know, Travis Dermott, long-term, they maybe see letting him there. I'm not saying that from any inside knowledge. You just look at the opportunities that they've given this guy, and it says a lot about, you know, where the team feels they should put that effort, and Letton is getting a lot of chances.
Sean, looking at the Leafs division here, you know, only a couple things seem for sure. It's that likely that Toronto and Montreal are the better teams, and Ottawa's at the bottom. There's two playoff spots left for Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary, and Vancouver. Who do you like best out of those four teams?
I'm going to take. Again, you're getting me killed on Twitter here, just because I don't want
Sorry, mate.
Coming after me. This clubhouse is going to turn into Vancouver Twitter fans just logging in to crash this thing and yell at me. I'm going to say Vancouver will be on the out. I think there's just too much, you know, too much chaos there. Speaking of it, I think there's just too much going on around that team, and we've seen it with the Leafs in so many years. We've seen it with so many teams where it's just so hard to bounce back from a start like that. I think it was a couple days ago, I looked on moneypuck.com and their odds of making the playoffs were like 14%. So if you're a betting man, you just, you know, you look at that and say, well, the odds aren't great. And I think the other three teams are going to fight it out. I think Edmonton, I'd throw in there. I'd put in that mix and just say that, you know, if they can figure things out, you know, your one crazy hot streak from McDavid and Draisaitl going off to go on a serious run. And I think we've seen that. And then I think I'm not going to lock in either of those last two teams, but I think Calgary and Winnipeg will fight it out for that last spot.
Before we let you go, and we thank you for your time, don't forget you can check out Sean McKenzie and Chris Johnson at 4 o'clock on Clubhouse. So download that app, ladies and gentlemen. You're an impressive guy, full-time Leafs reporter, appearances on Clubhouse, appearances on this and other radio and television properties, and also training for a, is it triathlon or Ironman, Sean McKenzie?
A half Ironman. So it is a 2 kilometer swim, a 90 kilometer bike, and then a half marathon. So they call it a 70.3 Ironman, I guess is the official term.
So are you, like, at what point do we just say, here's Sean McKenzie, he's down to ribs and teeth?
See, here's the thing is I've been struggling lately, and it's an issue that I've never had before. But, like, I'm eating so damn much every day. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I'm doing these long runs. I'm biking. I'm lifting weights. And I'm, like I'm always hungry. So I'm just crushing carbs. And I don't know if I'm getting, like, slowly fatter and I think I'm being healthier or if I'm whittling away to nothing. Like, I need someone who's good at, like, science or nutritionist or someone to be, like, your body's dying, or you're gonna end up with like no muscle, just whittling away. And
wait a minute. Hang on. Are you actually just doing this on your own? Like, you don't have anyone no one's advising you on any of this, Sean.
No, I'm one of those idiots I'll start something and then I'll be like, you know what? I downloaded a plan online. It's some guy's like half Ironman plan, and like I'm following it as closely as possible. But no pools are open. I can't swim. So I'm substituting it for the bike, and I'm kind of trying to do it somewhat without, because anybody, you're like, oh, you look up a nutrition plan, that's $100 a month. You look up, and I'm not taking it that serious. Like, I'm not trying to win an award here and be a hero. I just want to finish this thing. So I'm trying not to go broke in the process.
You understand that we work in an industry where you have access to trainers or people who know trainers. Like, right away, I'll just jump in before Anthony Stewart says Matt Nichol, but Matt Nichol.
Yeah, see, but here's the thing is I'm always hesitant to con, because they train real athletes. I'm just some schmo that goes on Clubhouse to talk about the Leafs, and I'm going to be like, hey, Maddie, I know you're used to training Connor McDavid and stars, but, you know, do you want to help this milk bag out, get on a bike, and tell me what to eat? Like, I don't know. I feel guilty wasting those guys' time. So I'm just like, I reached out to Maddie and some of those guys with little questions here and there, and I do pick people's brain, but like, there's also like one part of me that's like, this thing's getting canceled because of COVID and I'm off the hook here. Like, 1% of me is like, I might not actually have to do this damn thing, and I'm raising money for charity, and no matter what, we're gonna do it for a good cause. It's for sick kids, and it's something, so I will do it on my own if it does get canceled. I'll go to the cottage or something and swim in the lake and bike and do everything just kind of solo. But you know what the one thing I learned after I signed up for this damn thing was? Is this whole race, it's like a 6 or 7 hour race, I think, if you complete it. You're not allowed headphones. No headphones allowed. So I can't listen to a podcast, a music. I'm just there with my own thoughts.
Wow.
Which is not good.
Moving meditation. Good. Here we go. Like, listen, Sean, I love you. You're a great guy, but you're psycho.
I appreciate that, I think.
It's impressive. Your heart's in the right place, clearly. Let's get your head there. Do this buddy.
This will sum up the type of guy I am and why I'm not, like, hiring trainers. And I'm an idiot. You're right. I'm not the brightest. But so, like, I started running when the pandemic first hit. And, like, I am... By no means am I, you know, I play hockey growing up. I work out consistently. Like, I'm not much of a runner. Like, I was doing CrossFit, that type of stuff, not long distance running. So I did a few long runs, 8-9K by the, and I thought, you know what, I want to run a half marathon. And I woke up one morning and it was like 37 degrees. It was the hottest day of the summer. And like, I was like, yeah, I'll just go do it. And like, I almost died, but I'm one of the type of people that, like, I don't want to do a big build up. I just want to go do it. So that's maybe my mindset and why things usually don't work out, but if that makes it crazy, then so be it.
Your heart's in the right place. I'll say it again. 4 o'clock on Clubhouse, the one and only Sean McKenzie. Iron Man, along with CJ, who is actually a marathon runner, we should point out as well, but they'll be talking hockey.
What CJ does, like CJ's run, he doesn't talk about it very much, and he's run like, and I say this with a word of a lie, like 400 days straight, and he does like 10 to 12K a day. Like it's mind-boggling. Like
it doesn't matter what the weather is. Like we're getting a big blast of snow here coming up soon. He'll be out there.
Okay, like
he'll have icicles on his beard. He don't care.
Yeah, the other day he texted me and I was sitting on the couch eating pizza watching golf, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna run by your balcony soon, waved in. I'm doing like 22 today," and I'm like, "Just don't bug me, leave me alone. Like, let me watch my golf and pizza in peace. Like, I don't need these texts. I'm supposed to be training for a half Ironman, and this guy's out here running by my condo. Like, just guilt traps everywhere."
You guys are perfect for each other. 4 o'clock on Clubhouse, Sean McKenzie and Chris Johnson. Thanks, as always, for stopping by, Sean. We appreciate it. You be well.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on. As always, it was a pleasure.
There is Sean McKenzie. 4 o'clock on Clubhouse. Him and CJ, drop by. Download the app. We'll hit a break. More Hockey Central in a moment. Mentioning that Vancouver situation, we should probably talk about that as we tour around the NHL. When Hockey Central continues, tweets from the owner in Vancouver. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program. Don't forget Toronto Maple Leafs in action this evening, facing off against the Ottawa Senators. One of three games in a row they'll play against the Sens tonight, Wednesday on Scotiabank, Wednesday Night Hockey, and then Thursday as well. Meanwhile, that was a big win by the Vancouver Canucks for a couple of different reasons. One, stop the bleeding, beating the Calgary Flames on Saturday. And two, when your owner throws in essentially the entire organization his full support, you better step up. And that's what we saw Francesco Aquilini do on Saturday, denying media reports that he was interested in or looking to change the general manager, saying he has full confidence in Jim Benning, coach Travis Green, and there will be no changes. Stewie and Justin, normally when I see something like that, I say, uh-oh, that's the kiss of death, because we've all seen it before. The owner comes out, gives the general manager the shot in the arm. He's got my full support. Here's our guy. He's got two hands on the wheel, etc. To find out only a couple of weeks later, well, we've had a change of heart and it's time to refocus our direction, blah, 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 blah. We've all read those comments in various press releases. But it seems as if this one is different. And as Friedman pointed out on the 31 podcast that came out this morning, I don't think any owner right now has the appetite, not that this is the only reason, but it's a big one, to pay people not to work and to pay two people to do one job. And it seems as if, Stewie, and Justin, I want you to weigh in on this one as well, it seems as if Vancouver right now is very much in that mindset. These are our people for now. We'll address everything else, whether it's Jim Benning, whether it's Travis Green's contract, whether it is contract for Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, Thatcher Demko, at the end of the season, whenever that happens for the Canucks. How did you read Saturday, Stewie?
I think it was pretty genius, because just based on the fact that, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and everyone's pretty much miserable as it is, but this Canucks Twitter and media frenzy was sort of getting out of hand, where, you know, you saw the trending topics, you saw the media guys, you know, they're calling me from across the country to call in and kick a horse where they're down. So I think the ownership caught wind of this and they said, well, you know, this can go one of two ways. We can either make a move now, which doesn't make sense financially, or we can put, you know, we can put some water on the flames here. So the good thing about this is that they control their fate. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot, and their next six games are two against Calgary, two against Winnipeg, two against Edmonton. So they go and do what they need to do. They're back in the playoff mix. But I love the fact that the ownership now, they usually throw guys under the bus. They're actually now vouching for them. So it could be all lip service, but it's a pandemic. They're not going to go and make changes and spend any unnecessary money. So it's good to get the backing of the ownership now, because now you can focus on what is most important, winning games and playing good hockey. So I just want to reiterate the fact that they control their fate and they have a 14% chance, but they go on a run. They win 5 of 6. Those odds are going up. So I know the analytics on that. You win, your odds go up. They continue to win after these next 6 games. They're back in the mix.
Whoa, that's a controversial take right there, Anthony Stewart. Yeah. You win your game, your chances of winning go up.
Hot Takes Tuesdays tomorrow.
Yes. You forgot another very important thing, Merrick, and
what's that?
Why they gave such a great effort is you don't want to be the team that loses and has to walk home in work boots. I don't know if you saw the guys come to the rink. They were dressed in civilian wear and work boots. That was the only mandatory piece of apparel.
That does sort of hint at a question, too. We've had this, you know, every now and then. You know, the mandatory dress code. This is what you have to do. Guys have to wear their suits, etc. And Vancouver wants to shake off whatever they're going through, change everything up, and come in more casual / blue collar attire. You know, dress. What's the old saying? You know, in that situation, you know, dress like the people that shower after work, not before it. And that's what it looked like Vancouver was sort of after. I want to get your thoughts on this, Stewie. But Justin, your thoughts on Vancouver saying, you know what, suits and ties, let's change everything up here. We need some winning mojo. What'd you think?
I appreciate the coaching staff being like, we're at a crossroads in our season, and tonight can't be just another game. Like, sometimes you're just looking for a marker to say, ever since X, we've been better. You know, I think things changed when we did this, and like they needed a switch in a major way. So it's corny. I would have rolled my eyes. If I was one of the guys, I'd been like, whatever, you know, like, okay, I'll throw on my jeans tonight, throw on my, my Blundstones or whatever. But yeah, it's corny, but I appreciate them trying to do something. You can't just continue on as they were.
What do you think, Stewie?
Yeah. And usually it's, they're going suits and ties, or usually it's booze and fries. But, normally in a situation like this, you have a team get-together where you just get together, relax, and everyone tells stories. You have a couple root beers. And what that does now just eases that tension. But remember, we're in the middle of a pandemic where you can't even get together away from the arena. So it's good that they're trying different ways, because normally these things can sort of snowball and get worse and worse and worse. It just shows that, hey, at least they do have some sense of urgency and some sense of togetherness, as opposed to just sitting around for another 5-6 game segment and wait for it to get worse, where, you know, if it gets worse, say what you want, owner, you're going to have to make a move if you're, you know, 15, 20 points out of the playoffs with 25 games to go.
Yeah, I think maybe at that point, those two, like, what's the point of making a move? Like, when you're out of it that much, we were talking about this on Friday, like, when you're out of it that much, what's the point of changing things up, other than, you know, you don't want this general manager to handle contracts for 3 key pieces of your future. See, the problem with Vancouver is they've played 18 games. Like, that's most in the division. And you look at a team they're chasing, like the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames haven't had their Ottawa experience yet. I know we sort of, you know, sideways cheek about, oh, you haven't picked up your Ottawa points yet. But it's a thing in the North Division. Like, Calgary still hasn't gone through it. They have a better winning percentage. They have more points than the Vancouver Canucks. That's one of the teams that Vancouver is chasing. They played 4 less games, and they haven't played Ottawa yet. All I'm saying at the end of all of this one, Justin, is this is still a steep climb for the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, like, man, Saturday
was great. I know. You said, like, that's it. They're out. They're done. And it might sound hot takey after 18 games, but that's what, you know, now that's over 20% of the schedule. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, we're like, that's a big hole to crawl out of.
And I'm not walking that back. I think they're cooked. But I do appreciate that there was a real momentum push, and there's a reminder of, like, how much talent there is on that team. Like, I do think just that because of all the circumstances, they're in major trouble. But that game was a good reminder, not just winning the game, but how much they controlled the play of how good they can be at their best.
I want to get a thought. All of a sudden now, everyone here at SportsCenter are more invested in the Pittsburgh Penguins than we have been in quite some time, for the obvious reason. And Brian Burke's last hurrah, by the way, on Saturday was hilarious. I love that Brady Bunch shot with Berkey right in the middle and him happy. And he seemed happy ever since taking the job with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And why not? He gets in the car on Sunday morning, drives to the Penguins Washington Capitals game. And it is, I think we can all be on the same page, the best that we've seen the Pittsburgh Penguins all season long, doubling up the Washington Capitals. 6-3 is the final score. Crosby's line was great with Gensel and Rust. Bluger, Aston Reese, and Tanev. That line was real good, too. Still questions, certainly, about the goaltending. Still questions, certainly, about Evgeny Malkin. But, Stewie, where are you at right now on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Hextall-Burke era, now 2-0?
Yeah, I'll start with the line of the night was from David Amber when he said at the end of it, see you next year, Berkey, or see you in a year.
Next year. That was awesome.
DA was great.
Yeah, but, you know, with Pittsburgh, I think they've obviously underachieved a little bit last year, this year, but they've been playing pretty good hockey. And just, you know, with the new GM and the new with Berkey coming in now, they're on notice. They're on notice that, you know, Berkey's known to make some changes and make big, big changes. He's not just going to sit around and let this thing go into the ground. So, you know, it's good seeing Rust come, and I think he scored his fourth and fifth goals of the year last year, of the year this year, and really stepping up. And Malkin playing some good hockey as of late, because they want to keep this group together. The first choice is not to trade Letang, Malkin, or Crosby. But if they underachieve like they have the last couple of years, Berkey's not going to – he doesn't care about anyone's feelings. He's going to make a move and feel what he does best for the organization. So for Pittsburgh, I don't – for one, I don't think their window's closed because they have those top three guys. Goaltending, they need to shore up a little bit. But if they don't make a move and they don't make some waves this year, there's going to be changes coming, no doubt in my mind.
Justin, last word to you.
Yeah, they're just the perfect team that you don't want to play in playoffs, because they're probably going to finish near the bottom if they get into playoffs, but you know what they can do, right? You know what those top-end guys can do. Listen, they're a negative goal differential team still. They've given up more goals than any other team except one in that division. Like, they're flawed, but they're still the Pittsburgh Penguins with Crosby and Malkin, and that's still in Letang, and that's still a threat. So can Pittsburgh fill in around them defensively so they can play a little bit tighter hockey and then let the offense shine through? I think it's possible. I think that there's reason not to give up on this season. So I like the plan for going for it this year and reassessing the offseason.
Big win last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather, 6-3. The Pittsburgh Penguins double up the Washington Capitals. We'll hit a break. Okay, on break, guys, everybody pick a game. There's 10 of them tonight, nine outside of the Maple Leafs and Ottawa Senators. Give us your what I'm most excited about game on the board when we come back. Hockey Central, this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, welcome back to the program. A couple of moments left here with Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. Maple Leafs facing off against the Ottawa Senators. They will play three in a row, these two teams. Elsewhere, nine other games on the board this evening. Bourne, we'll start with you. Which one catches your eye for good reasons, for bad reasons, from curious reasons? What do you get your eyeballs on tonight?
How about gambling reasons, Jeff? Does that...
Okay, that's fair. You're a degenerate. We'll go that way. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, well, you can get some underdog odds on the Winnipeg Jets against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. You know, they're paying plus 125, and they're at least equal in that game, if not the favorites in my mind. So I think that's a good spot to go. Also, the Blues play the Coyotes tonight, and they played the Coyotes 2 days ago, and they played the Coyotes 3 days ago, and they're going to play the Coyotes 2 days from now. Oh, my God, it's never ending. The Coyotes season's going to end at the hands of the St. Louis Blues in February. It's going to be weird.
They're playing a best-of-seven playoff series in season. This is unprecedented in the NHL. You know what, though? Like, look at the... okay, Blues are 9-4-2. Like, Blues are a really good team. Look at the Coyotes, 6-6-2. Are they not one of the surprise teams so far this season? I know Chicago's in that mix. I know the Florida Panthers are, certainly. But I thought Coyotes were going to be... And again, a lot of hockey still to play. I thought they were going to be in the Ottawa Turtle race to the lottery. 6-6-2. That's all right.
Hanging in there. That's all I can say. They're hanging in there.
What about you, Stewie? What do you think? What are you looking at tonight?
I'm going for the Battle of Florida, Tampa Bay versus Florida. The Tampa Bay Lightning is first place in the Central Division, with Florida 3 points behind. If they win, they come within 1 point. Should be a good game tonight.
One day, if you're the NHL, heck, if you're the Florida Panthers or Tampa Bay Lightning, you just hope that these two teams meet in the playoffs so they can finally have a legitimate in-state rivalry. Not unlike what we see with teams like, I don't know, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. It hasn't happened yet. They've never been good at the same time. They've never met in the playoffs. You cross your fingers. Maybe this is the season that, that happens. These two, this is the third game in a row. These two teams have flip-flopped wins. The Cats and the Bolts, good ones. Stewie, Leafs, Ottawa tonight. We're back tomorrow.